Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fan Fight Podcast. I am Danielle Riender, the EIC up in these quarters, and I am joined by FanBite's own wrestling expert, section head, chief, LB Hunk Tears.
What's up?
And we're here to discuss all things punchy, kicky, and wrestly, which is pro wrestling and MMA. And every week on this fine podcast, we each bring an event from our respective discipline that we enjoy and love. So I bring a little MMA fight, LB brings a pro wrestling match, and we kind of share in the glory. We have sharing and caring time, and we give each other a little bit of education about our respective art forms. And LB, you brought me maybe my favorite match so far, actually.
Really? Yeah. This was your favorite match? It's an incredible match.
I loved it.
With two of the best to do it.
Yeah, I really loved it. Would you like to set up the incredible wrestling match that you gave?
I would love to. And I have to give a big shout out and a big thank you to my FanFight VCR co-host / FanFight columnist, Colette Arend, so this week we're doing intergender wrestling.
Yes.
We mentioned it last week. I thought perfect. Perfect segue. We'll do an intergender match this week. I watched so many intergender matches yesterday, trying to pick one out.
Yeah.
Finally was like, you know what? Here's one from, I found one from last year that I really like. It's Priscilla Kelly versus Jake Atlas. It's fantastic. People should check that out. And I was happy with that choice. And I went onto Twitter and was just like, let's talk about intergender wrestling. And I just asked, what's your favorite of all time? And Colette reminded me of the match that we ended up watching instead, which is one of my favorites ever. Claudio Castagnoli versus Sarah Del Rey from Chikara in 2011. Now, Claudio Castagnoli is known to most of you probably as Cesaro in WWE.
Oh, okay.
Sarah Del Rey was also signed by WWE as a trainer.
Okay.
So she is the person, the quote-unquote women's evolution thing that WWE did, all the incredible female talent coming out of NXT. Sarah Del Rey is the person training all of them.
Okay.
And you can see her sometimes backstage or in the performance center clips and stuff. So she's now a teacher. She's no longer performing.
Okay.
But for the 2010s, she was kind of the wrestler.
Okay.
In terms of women's wrestling on the independent scene, and she also did a lot of intergender stuff in this company. This was also your first real indie match.
Okay, yeah. We've watched some things that were as I understand it, AEW is indie-ish, but not
AEW
indie.
Is not.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. AEW isn't indie. So
gotcha.
Actually I'm wrong, because we watched that IWA Mid-South match.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But indie, okay. So the difference between indie wrestling and a big promotion wrestling, I kind of judge it as, is it on TV nationally? If it's on TV in any national sense, it's definitely not an indie.
Okay.
If it's on a local TV station, it could be. It could still be a little bit indie. But I don't consider Impact, AEW, I don't consider them to be indies. Ring of Honor is borderline indie.
Okay.
But most indies don't have any TV deals of any kind. They do streaming only, and if that, or they'll sell DVDs or nothing at all.
Okay.
Chikara is a kind of lucha inspired, very, very story-heavy independent wrestling company in Philadelphia. And they actually do a So this match between Claudio and Cara Del Rey was part of a, and I'm not, since it's so story heavy, I am so not up to date, especially on 2011 Chikara lore. But they do, commentary does actually a really good job of just kind of like laying out the story that you need to know to enjoy the match. So Claudio and Cara are both in this heel faction called BDK, which I think is the Brüderhood der Kreuzschaft or something.
Good.
It's, you know, like the Brotherhood of Pain, but in German.
Yes. Good, good, good. Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. And again, that's probably not correct German. I'm sorry. I didn't complete my German education.
I've taken none, so it's okay.
Okay. Well, so it's there. It's this kind of 12-person... what are those things called again? Tournaments. It's a 12-person tournament that they're both taking part in. Claudio is the leader of this heel faction. Okay. And they, I guess, there were like votes to see who would get into the tournament. Most of the faction voted for Claudio, but a couple of breakaway people voted for Cara Del Rey. So she ended up in there also. And he's really pissed about it.
Ah.
Because she's like now kind of challenging his, for her to like, you know, I mean, if you haven't seen, Claudio in 2011 looked a lot like Cesaro does now. So if you're familiar with him, you know what that is. All if right. you're not familiar with these people, he is a shredded, big Swiss dude.
Looks like an MMA fighter, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said, I saw in your notes that you used to train with a guy who looks like Claudio.
There's a guy I trained with for like 2.5 years who goes by, he doesn't go by this, we just called him Handsome Johnny. Like, he is Handsome Johnny. And he's really a super nice dude. He's really good. He's a brown belt now. He just competed for the first time, and the last time I competed, so I hung out with him a little. He's a super, super nice dude. But yeah, Handsome Johnny looks a lot like him. I showed him to my partner, who agreed. Like, oh yeah, that looks like Handsome Johnny. So, yeah.
<That rules. laughs> Yeah, Cesaro or Claudio slash Cesaro is just, he's also a very handsome dude.
Yes.
But for his, I just looked up his build size.
Sure.
His build height is 6'5", weight of 232. He's a big
dude. He's 6'5"?
That's his build height. I don't think he's a full 6'5". He's probably more like 6'3".
Sorry, can you? Okay. What is because a build
they
height?
Always lie.
Sorry.
A build height is the height that they announce you as.
Okay, okay. But it's not necessarily the exact actual.
They usually like amp it up a little.
All right.
Cara Del Rey, no slouch either. Like her build height is 5'9", which is probably about right.
Okay.
So like there is a height difference, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, 6'5".
Yeah, no, he's a big dude.
He looks big, but he does not look 6'5" to me next to her. So, yeah.
Especially because, well, and she also carries herself so well. And honestly, actually, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen this match yet, pause the podcast.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube. Type in Chikara Cara Del Rey Claudio.
Yeah.
It's for free on the Chikara YouTube. Please watch this match. It is incredible. If you're dubious about intergender wrestling being a thing, this I think is a match that like you cannot argue with. I do want to know though, like Danielle, what you said this is your favorite so far. What spoke to you about this? What did you like about it?
So a lot of it is this. So I was watching it and I was like, oh cool. You know, there's first of all, my first impression is that I really like the intergender match in general. Like I think that's really cool. I think it really speaks to a sort of genuine martial arts sort of ethos of like equality, basically, because I train with dudes all the time. If you are, you know, I identify as a woman and like I'm small, but once you are there every day in a gym, in a good, like healthy gym environment, the dudes treat you very much like with respect and like, yeah, I'll kick your ass too kind of thing, which is not like a bad thing. Like, I want to say that in a very positive way. Like, yeah, you know, I'm going to go for a submission on you. I am going to go for it. Like, I'm not going to, if I'm much bigger than you, I'm not going to throw my weight around. I mean, sometimes that's sort of what we call the like, you know, untrained white belts will do that. And that just really sucks because it's just like, okay, you have 100 pounds on me. That's just not fair. So bigger guys, once they've been training for a while, they will not like crank things or use their weight, but they will try to kick your ass, like in more of a fair way. But it's like a really healthy and respectful mood and vibe, like that I really, really appreciate in any sort of like healthy gym environment. Like any good gym environment will cultivate that. It will make women feel, or you know, women, non-binary people, you know, make folks feel at home, but also respected. Also, like, you can't let your guard down. You need to train your ass off, but like, we're going to respect you, kind of thing. So there's that vibe that's very present in this match. Another thing about it, though, is that for me, as you know, somebody who watches MMA all the time, somebody who trains, and somebody who appreciates and is beginning to appreciate the sort of the artistry of pro wrestling, this for me felt like the actual violence of the spots was very cartoonish and heightened in such a way that you could not look at this match and ever think and ever have that sort of cultural bias of like, oh, I see like something uncouth going on. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. I could not look at this match and think like, oh, you know, have the feelings that I have as a woman in Western culture of being upset watching a man, you know, be violent with a woman. Like, there is such an added affect to this and like a sort of joyous cartoonishness to the violence that makes it feel very palatable and very like specifically choreographed so that nobody could, who was like flipping channels. I know. Okay. Sorry. If this is indie, then they're not flipping channels, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
you couldn't
just like randomly stumble upon this and be like, this is not okay. This large man is beating up on a woman. Like you would never say that because it's so heightened. It's so like kind of joyous and over, you know, like over exaggerated to a way where it's like, this is very fun to watch. And that felt like a very specific choice. I could be wrong, but that's how I read it. That's how it like played to me.
So Chikara is a company that like I said, it's Lucha inspired.
Okay.
It's an American company, but their thing that they do is there's like no profanity allowed. Mm-hmm. They're like very focused on being family friendly.
Oh, sure.
While also being like fun and interesting and like, and again, like the stories and the lore, it's nuts. It gets very, very complicated.
Yeah.
So it's also like kind of comic book inspired.
Sure.
So because of it being kind of quote unquote family friendly, and like I feel like family friendly is often like a dog whistle to mean something else. Right. I don't mean that way. I just mean like you could take a kid to this
and it would be fine.
And they're not going to be traumatized. Someone's, because you've actually, the other indie match we watched, which was Samoa Joe versus the Necro Butcher.
Yeah.
In IWA Mid-South, happened in the exact same arena that
This
match. Yeah, if you look at the gnarly floor, you will recognize
I totally missed that. But no, that's awesome.
I
mean, awesome.
Why would you notice that? I never noticed it before.
Sure.
But like, you know, nobody's scalp is going to come off of their head.
Right.
So you can take a kid to this. So I think in general, there's like a lot more comedy wrestling in Chikara. The style and the way they do violence is more cartoony because they are cartoon inspired. So that's true across the board, not just with their intergender matches. There are stiffer things. There are more realistic feeling matches that they do. But in general, I would say that's pretty commonplace. I mean, the video, I don't know if you watched the intro, but it gets introed by a Chikara character named Estonian Thunder Frog.
Yeah.
So like that's kind of the wheel. That's kind of where we're at here.
I really dig that. Like I like this sort of gonzo wacky stuff. Like I think it's really fun, TBH.
If I lived in Philadelphia and I had, you know, access to children, I would take them to Chikara all the time.
Yeah.
Cause I mean it looks fun.
Yeah.
It looks super fun. And wrestling, like wrestling should be for everybody, including kids.
Sure. Yeah.
And including people who don't want to see gore and guts and stuff like that.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's, but I do think that you're right that there is something about that style that lends itself to intergender wrestling and makes it less uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because not all intergender matches feel this way, but a lot of Chikara intergender matches have this kind of ease and comfort.
Yeah. I don't want to say there's only one right choice, but this did feel right for this whole vibe, not just the intergender sort of aspect to it, but the like teammates feuding over something kind of aspect to it, which is also funny. Yeah.
And it is worth mentioning, like, intergender wrestling is a pretty controversial thing.
Sure. Okay.
Even like within wrestling. So you've got like, there's a camp of people who are against any kind of anything in wrestling that takes away from its realism and believability.
Huh. Okay.
They want it to look like something that's real, and anything that reminds you it's not, they're against. Okay. And these people are against it because they don't think a woman could believably fight a man.
Well.
Right.
The short answer to that is it is absolutely possible.
Yeah. The long answer to that is fuck you guys.
Yeah, exactly. That's the long answer. The short answer is you're wrong. And the second answer is fuck you guys. Which is a complicated thing. You. Like, size absolutely matters in fighting. However, there are also women who are absolute beasts. And like, if you've never seen like a finely honed like woman grappler who is like above 5'9", you know, above 5'11", like you've truly don't understand. But anyway,
And I mean, and it's not like, you know, they do mixed sizes in wrestling all the time.
Yes, of course.
Like, you know, with, you know, you'll have like a tiny Rey Mysterio Jr. be able to defeat, you know, a massive Brock Lesnar. Right. Like, this is not unheard of.
Yeah.
So it doesn't track that. Yeah. So that argument, I think, is bullshit.
Yeah.
The argument that I am willing to listen to is, it's uncomfortable for this viewer to watch a man hit a woman.
Right. I also agree. I think there's validity to that, certainly.
Yeah. And there are intergender wrestling matches that absolutely feel that way.
Sure.
Some of them are able to make it work and do something interesting with it, mm-hmm. even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a match between Kana, Asuka, who... of That's Pussy Babe fame.
Yes, my fave!
Who is also our new Raw Women's Champion. Congratulations,
Asuka. I saw that, by the way. I actually saw that happen.
She has an intergender match against Minoru Suzuki.
Oh, yes, we've also seen.
That is so fucking uncomfortable.
Okay, yeah.
And it is a match she booked on a show she produced.
Yeah.
That was basically... that all of that, like, that you need all of this context to I at least need all of this context to make it watchable.
Yeah.
The context of being like, she booked this legend and said, kick my ass.
Yeah.
And I'm going to lose and beat the shit out of me because I want to, because I am really tough and I can survive that. And I need that to be added to like who I am.
Yeah. To the lore. Which is, to the legend. Yeah, absolutely.
You need all of that backstage, at least I need all of that backstage context to make it watchable, and it's still a really uncomfortable watch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah.
And like I said, I watched so much intergender wrestling to prep for this because I was like, I need Danielle to watch like a really good one.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Like, there's a lot of them where there's just something about it that doesn't quite work for me. Or the match itself is great, but the audience sucks. So I'm actually a little bit more sympathetic to the people who are uncomfortable with intergender wrestling mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Part of it is that I watched mostly American things because I didn't, you know, I want to try and keep it kind of balanced for you in terms of like, even though I have like obviously a very blatant pro lucha, pro Japanese wrestling bias.
Yeah. No, I think that's great.
So yeah, I do think, anyways, I'm also really grateful to everybody who like replied to my question with all kinds of really good match recommendations, which I will post a link to that when we tweet the podcast episode, because there's like a lot of really good matches that people have recommended, and I'm very excited about them.
Hell yes. That's exciting.
Yeah. So some other context about Sarah Del Rey and Claudio, they are, I believe they were together at this point, and I believe they are still together.
Oh, wow. To this day.
Yeah.
You know, I almost Like, I didn't want to ask that because I didn't want to make it think that, like, oh, every time a man, like, such a heteronormative thing to, for, right. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want it to sound like, oh, I think every time I see a man and a woman together, they're together. Because, like, oh, yeah, what if queer people don't exist? But, like, obviously I'm queer. But, like, I almost got a little bit of an energy from them. And I didn't know if it was just, like, teammate energy or, like, maybe a little something-something energy. But, yeah, it seemed like they had a very intimate rapport to do this this well, perhaps. So that's also cool.
they were both teachers at the because Chikara also has a school. So, I mean, in terms of like wrestlers to watch, period, you even separately, you can't do much better than Sarah Del Rey and Claudio Castagnoli.
Yeah.
Just incredible all around talents. I was noticing, like, even from the start, even though Claudia is so much bigger than Sarah Del Rey is, the way she carries herself and the way she, like, the amount of confidence she has, it doesn't feel like there's, like, a size disparity or a strength disparity, even though there obviously is a big power difference.
Sure.
She's just, like, the ferocity she has. It's just so cool.
Yeah.
I love seeing her wrestle. I am sad I got into it after she had retired.
Mm.
But yeah. Just I'm so glad you enjoyed this because I loved this and we will watch more Sarah Del Rey and definitely more Claudio / Cesaro.
I'm happy for that. Cause I think I am going to be more oriented towards these maybe more cartoonish depictions or maybe more. I don't know. Like, I guess I don't know if that's going to carry all the time or maybe just this match was so fucking awesome. But like, yeah, I just really enjoyed that. I just really thought that was fun. And having that sort of, I don't know, that sort of interplay was really fun. And the tone was really fun. And it just really worked for me. It just really worked for me, for sure.
They do a really good job of Claudio being disrespectful and being a heel. Because, I mean, the story of the match is he's not taking her seriously.
Right.
And she's his subordinate in the BDK. And so she needs to lie down and respect him and let him win. And when she doesn't, he gets mad. Which is real heel shit. I mean, he even does the pulling up your opponent at 2.5 when you definitely have them pinned because you're being arrogant and you want to beat them up some more move. Yeah. Like, he's doing some real heel shit. But because there is that, like, cartoonishness, one, and I do think that you're absolutely right in recognizing the, like, true mutual respect that's there underneath the story, which they allow enough of to come through to make it not feel so yucky of, I don't know.
Right.
Yucky is a very, like, non-specific word, but...
No, I think it's accurate, though. Like, I feel like you want to be careful with this, like, just in general, right? Like, you just don't want to be, like, careless with something that could be, you know, super upsetting, like, for a very obvious real reason, right? Like, there's a reason especially why it's upsetting, right? Like,
yeah, especially if you're doing if you're in a company where your thing is you're accessible.
Yes.
Which is Chikara's thing.
Absolutely.
Is that they're accessible. Like, you don't need to be a big wrestling nerd to get into it. But if you are a big wrestling nerd, there's something there for you too.
Yeah.
If you're 5, you can be into it. If you're 75, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you really don't want to have a Chris Dickinson versus Kimberly situation here. Again, I watched so many matches preparing for this.
Well, thank you for doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, because intergender wrestling is also, like, a big, or used to be, I guess, before YouTube demonetized all the wrestling sites.
Oh, shit.
Or all the wrestling channels. Yeah. Used to be, like, a big moneymaker for indie wrestling YouTube channels.
Yeah. Wow.
So if you look up, like, a lot of these, if you look up, like, I don't know, Beyond Intergender or something, you'll see videos with 10 million views.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot more than most indie wrestling matches get on YouTube.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember where I was going with that. It's there's a lot of different reasons people watch intergender wrestling.
Sure, sure.
And yeah, this is, I think, one of my favorite kinds. I think Chikara does it in general better than most other companies.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I loved it. That vibe was great. So, so good. Yeah. Do you want to talk about MMA?
I would love to talk about
MMA. So, LB, I've certainly have a huge bias when it comes to MMA. I like women's MMA, and I like smaller people MMA. Just in general, mm-hmm. I just like the faster style. I like the fast, more technical. And that's a generality. There's giant dudes who are incredibly technical. Like, this is not me saying, oh, heavyweights aren't technical. Just in terms of preference, this is what I enjoy watching. Now, somebody who encompasses both of those things and a lot of other incredible qualities is Angela Hill, one of my favorite all-time fighters. Angela Overkill Hill, just an absolute gem in this sport. And this is one of her best fights.
I really like her.
Oh, I love Angela Hill. What we watched was Angela Hill versus Hannah Cyphers. This is from January, I think January 25th, could be wrong, but January of this year. So pretty recent fight. It was on the Curtis Blaydes versus Rafael Dos Anjos fight night. She really does a good job here, but I want to give you just a little bit of backstory about Angela Hill. And I guess this is a full disclosure thing. When I worked at Waypoint, we had a TV show. We had a short run documentary TV show on Disney XD. And a couple of episodes that I pitched, I wrote, I did like the hosting for, but this is so weird. I've never actually seen it because I've never seen it on TV. I only watched the like social cuts and like the cuts that went on YouTube. So I've never seen myself as the host of this episode, but I hosted it and I did the VO and I, you know, all that kind of stuff. I had pitched it and written it and all this good stuff on Angela Hill because I knew she was an incredible fighter who's also known for doing cosplay. She's known for being a huge gamer and loving to do cosplay at like her at like the standoffs, you know, the ceremonial weigh-ins where, you know, people take pictures and stuff like that. She's always doing like a really fun like Street Fighter cosplay or something like that. Just really, really fun, cool personality. She started like late. She started, I think, in college training Muay Thai. And she was like an art student or maybe animation, something like that. And she like fell in love with Muay Thai, got really good, and she went pro. And she was actually the very first African-American woman in the UFC. But she got cut after a couple of fights. She went to Invicta, which we watched an Invicta fight pretty early on. That really bloody fight was from Invicta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember Invicta. I love Invicta.
I couldn't love Invicta more if I tried. They're an all-woman promotion who do a really, really good job promoting their fighters. And, you know, they lose a lot of their fighters to the UFC. Like, it's very much like kind of treated almost like a development league in some ways, but they make it work. Like, they still just keep it going. It's a woman who runs the company. There's a lot of women talent, and they have a nice equal opportunity policy where they have both a ring girl and a ring boy. They have a hot boy who comes in as well. So great, just a great promotion. She went there, kind of developed a little further, got a title there, and then went back to the UFC, and now she's on a several fight winning streak. She broke the record in the UFC for most fights in a year. Like, in 10 months, she fought 6 times, which is...
That's so fucking cool.
Wild.
That's so many times.
Positively wild. I'm going to just read, like, a tiny excerpt from The Athletic, which The Athletic is, like, a prescription... Not prescription, sorry. Subscription-based service, but hopefully me giving them the shout-out gives, you know, some kudos here. But Angela Hill wins in this piece that was written about her in 336 days from March 23rd, 2019 to February 23rd, 2020. She fought 6 times. Wild. Her record there was 4-2 in that time frame. The best win is the fight that we actually watched for today against Hannah Cyphers, which is a second round TKO. The average turnaround time, 56 days. Now, for context, like an active fighter, like somebody who's considered very active fights like 3 times a year, twice, yeah. 3 times, 4 is like wildly active. 5 is basically unheard of and 6 is a record. So, yeah, she did it 6 times. The biggest heat check in this time was knocking out Hannah Cyphers on short notice and then turning around and beating Luma Lokbunmay 29 days later. again on short notice. The breakdown here. MMA world, say hello to your new overlord of UFC activity, at least activity within a year. Yes, Hill's appearance on UFC Auckland on Saturday, so this was obviously written back then, cemented a record-breaking run for the strawweight. One that's counted dance dates against Random Marcos, Jody Esquibel, Jan Zionan, Ariane Carnelosi, Hannah Cyphers, and finally Luma Lokbunmay. Yet Hill's historic pace is made even more special by the means through which the 33-year-old accomplished it. Because four of Hill's six fights over the past 336 days were of the short-notice variety. That's three more short-notice bouts than anyone else on this list. And this was from a list of, like, anybody who even came close to that. Almost none of those were, like, really short-notice fights. She's just ready to go at all times. It's wild.
So fucking cool.
Yeah. At some point over the last year, Hill decided to throw any leftover Fs she had out the window and totally own the anyone, anytime mantra. And her daring paid off in the most successful stretch of her UFC career. Hill's victory in New Zealand put her on a three-fight winning streak and likely vaulted her into the top 15 rankings of the division. So that's a lot of context. talking about this, and again, this is her January fight against Hannah Cyphers. LB, I'm going to let you talk. Sorry, I just talked way too much about Angela Hill.
It's fine. No, she's I really like her. She has this vibe that's like...
Yeah.
Like... I'm watching like a 1982 pilot for a superhero show that for some reason didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
And that she's the star of.
Yep.
That you watch and you're like, why didn't the show get made? This is so good. Like, that's the vibe I get from her.
Yeah. She is so charismatic. She's such a good fighter, which, number one, she's a really good fighter.
She's
good yeah. in a weight class where, again, like I say this, I feel like I've been saying it a lot, but the UFC really should have an atomweight division for the much smaller women. Like, the top straw weights are like 5'6", even 5'7". That's for 115 pounds. And like, she's 5'3". Like,
oh my
the
God.
Women from like 5 foot or even like 4'11 to like 5'3", 5'4", are really... at a major disadvantage in this weight class because this is the lowest one. There's nothing lower than this. So like 115 is just, you know, the absolute smallest. And it's like in Invicta and in other promotions, there's a 105. And that 105 is for the, you know, much smaller women. So she's doing this at 5'3", which is amazing to me. I think it's really fucking cool. And yeah, just like such a good fighter, so charismatic. She's so good on the mic. Too. She's just like happy. She's like having the time yeah. of her fucking life. And like, she also has, you know, outside of this fight, even has like an awesome personality, has done like a lot of shows, a lot of podcasts, a lot of little things here and there. Just like a really like down to earth, funny, smart, awesome woman. So yeah, God, sorry, I'm gushing again.
No, it's fine. I don't blame you. There's something that's like really likable about her. The way she moves is gorgeous. Yeah. I was fucking with my internet for a while because I thought my internet was bad and I wanted to see this fight like in as smoothly as I possibly yeah. could. But then it turned out it was just like the first round. Like,
okay.
A little bit of the first round
Sorry.
Was a little choppy.
It was probably my computer being a piece of shit.
But I was still like, no, I want to see her like as smooth as I possibly
yeah.
can. Because her striking and her striking is, I really just liked watching her move.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely. She's so technical and like butter smooth. Like just, oh.
Yeah.
And like, Hannah Cyphers.
There's some real grace.
Yeah. Hannah Cyphers, no slouch. She's a newer fighter.
Not at all.
Newer fighter, certainly. But she just looked outclassed out there. And, yeah. you know, I like her too. Like she's a good, you know, she's a good fighter. She just isn't at the level. And Angela Hill now is, I think she's 35 now. And like, just a veteran now. And like, she's got that wily veteran energy now where she just knows mm-hmm. she's comfortable in there. She looks comfortable in there. She looks like, yeah, I'm here. I'm doing it. Like, instead of like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Hannah Cyphers still had that, oh shit, oh shit, a little bit in this fight, I think.
I mean, I don't blame her.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either at all.
Okay, I maybe am looking at Angela Hill's pro wrestling tees store, and like she has a really cool t-shirt that's
oh my god,
like that says yeah, Overkill Angela Hill, but it's like a skull with an afro and like
the
pick and the hair, and it looks really cool and on white, and I'm thinking like, what if I got this and tie-dyed it?
Oh my god,
that looks so cool.
This is so good.
But like, it's a really cool shirt. Wait, let me send it to you.
Oh my god, I love it. I'm actually looking at it right now. This you're already looking at it. Okay. Good.
It's so good.
Oh.
Like, it's a really good design.
I think she went to school for illustration or design. I'm almost positive.
She's so cool.
Yeah, she's just so fucking talented.
I also looked at some of her cosplay while you were reading that thing out loud that I read that was in
the show. Oh, yeah, sorry. That was for the fans. No,
it's fine. It's for the listeners. For the fans.
For the fans, you know?
No, she, like, has a really cool energy and, like, just a likability.
Oh, absolutely.
That, like, again, like, I keep saying this, but I'm like, if I was scouting UFC for, like, people I would think could be good wrestlers, like, she's also one.
Oh, God,
who I think I could really, like, see doing it if she wanted to.
Yeah.
But it seems like she has, like, enough skills outside of fighting that, like, if she didn't want to fight anymore, she could probably do something a little safer.
Oh, sure. Than, yeah. that's also
than
fair.
Than continuing to get hit in the head.
Yeah, that's also fair. Yeah. I mean, she just, oh my god.
Yeah, yeah, no, she's, and like the second round, the takedown she does.
Yeah.
It's just like gorgeous.
Oh, it's beautiful. So beautiful. Oh god.
And god, yeah, like the second round, like the first round had like a lot more striking and punching and stuff, which I do like more on these like kind of smaller, more graceful people.
Yes, yes.
So far, at least. But the second round had more grappling.
Yes. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And, like, the way it ends with those brutal fucking elbows and those little close punches.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Poor Hannah.
I know.
Woof.
Hannah got a little beat up. But I do think the stoppage was in the right place. It was very much, like, they didn't let it go on too long.
She was really struggling. Yeah. She was really doing her... there were a couple times I thought she was going to get out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I really enjoyed that. I thought it was like a really deserved win. And like, it's wild that she fights so much.
Nobody else has done it. Like, it's really
That's like an
wild.
Indie wrestler schedule.
Not
That's
on this
so
level.
Often.
I'm sure there's amateurs maybe who have done that. But like on this level, with this level of competition, like, holy shit.
Actually, that's not an indie wrestler schedule. Indie wrestler schedules is a few times a week. But
sure.
Still.
Yeah.
If you're like actually getting beat up and beating people up, that's so much
work.
I wonder how much, like, because you get paid a lot per fight generally, right?
Depends who you are.
Women, yeah. But depends who you are, and yeah. I gather women get paid a lot less than men in UFC.
Right? To be honest, it's really more, are you a superstar or not? You a super marketable, Ronda Rousey, I think, may have had paydays on par with the men. Like, it's very, like, superstar men is what I mean. Like, I think it really is who you are rather than necessarily gender. But like, well, yes, the lesser known people, no matter what, dude or lady, will be less. They'll be paid lot less. Like, in order, like, here's a fucking rage. Greg Hardy sucks, first of all. But he was paid a massive payday last weekend. And like, fucking, he's not a superstar. They're trying to make him a superstar, but yeah, he got paid a fuckload. They actually have been releasing things like how much people are paid on cards, and it can be very bad and upsetting sometimes. And in other ways, like, yeah, it's not necessarily a gender breakdown, which is like, okay, well, that's something, I guess, but it's still not great for sure. Actually, this is another complicated thing. So Angela's fighting in 2 days.
Shit.
And it's her first co-main event. This is a really, really big thing for her. She's on the poster, you know, like a year ago, she was definitely on like prelim cards, you know, and here she is in a co-main. And she's like a really thoughtful person. She has been tweeting about like having really complicated feelings about this, you know. About fighting right now, And, you know, obviously she said, like, I'm absolutely going to quarantine after this and all this other stuff. But, like, also I'm excited. You know, this is my first co-main. It's my first time on a poster. Like, this is an exciting time in my career. And I don't really know how to square these two things, which is complicated. That's a complicated thing to contend with. You know what I mean?
It's a difficult thing right now. Like, I'm experiencing this watching watching wrestling happen. I'm not really watching new wrestling right now.
Sure.
But, like, seeing opportunities, like Asuka being the Raw Women's Champion.
Right.
Like, Asuka won. She got she won Money in the Bank, which is a big ladder match where you get a briefcase.
Yeah.
And she became Raw Women's Champion. She has now gotten every single honor you can pretty much get as a woman in WWE.
Yeah.
She's been the NXT Women's Champion, Royal Rumble winner, SmackDown Women's Champion, Tag Team Women's Champion, and Money in the Bank winner, and now Raw Women's Champion. That's a huge deal. That's something I should be much happier about. Yeah. And I'm not, I'm just like, I am happy for her because she does deserve it and she is just an incredible talent. But I'm also like, Asuka, I want you to not be doing this right now. I don't think this should be happening right now. So it's complicated.
Super complicated.
Also, full disclosure, I have a pretty close family member who's like very immunocompromised and in poor health.
Yeah.
So I am I am extra angry and extra, you know, not psyched about these events and stuff happening and things reopening. But yeah, it's a complicated thing because Angela Hill does deserve to be a co-main event. That's a huge deal, especially like if strawweight usually doesn't get that big of a
if it's not a title fight. It doesn't often, and even then, I feel like the title fight has been not the main event a couple of times for strawweight, which is the most stacked of the women's divisions. Like, it's the most competitive of the women's divisions. Like, in bantamweight, Amanda Nunes rules the fucking roost. And don't worry, she's another favorite fighter who we will see soon. So don't worry, that's on there for sure. But, like, she's the champion in two different divisions. She has it on lock. And strawweight, that belt has gone around a little bit. Now, obviously, Weili Zhang right now has it fairly handily, but there's some sharks in that division, whereas bantamweight, obviously, there's some very, very talented fighters, but nobody's even close to the top woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's even close, even in featherweight. So it's very, very, very much a stacked division, and here we go with a co-main event that I really want to cheer on and be really excited about. But yeah, it's complicated right now to watch this stuff and to not have a lot of feelings about it. And there's also the part of this where, you know, it's very much how I feel about a lot of other sports. It's how I feel about the NFL. I think the UFC sucks ass as an organization.
Yeah.
I think they have bad leadership. There's a lot of bad politics. Bad. I still like watching fights, and I still like a lot of these fighters. And, like, that's a thing to contend with, right? Like, that sure is a thing where I have to admit that I'm part of the problem. And also,
it's rough.
And also want success for these fighters that put their heart and soul into it and are not shitty people, right? Like, Greg Hardy can go fuck himself. But, you know, the people who are not shitty, bad people, the people who are, you know, good fighters who are decent human beings. And, like, man, it's really hard. It's really hard. I've got a lot of complicated feelings about it. And I don't think there's an easy answer. And part of it as well is, you know, for fighters who are in their 30s, and it's like you have a limited time kind of no matter what, there's an extra level of sympathy. I'm not saying, again, this is not making it not complicated. It's complicated no matter what. But, you know, I have more sympathy for somebody who is 35 and having this incredible resurgence in her career, incredible run, now getting a co-main, versus somebody who's 21 and can reasonably expect to have a longer career at this point.
Yeah.
You know, like, be like, well, OK, this sucks right now. You're 21. You're probably going to be fine. So, yeah, there's a lot going on there. kind of mentally and a lot of mental gymnastics. I just wanted to point out that it seems like she herself also has complicated feelings about it and has been very thoughtful about that on Twitter.
That's
and
cool
so
that
on.
she's been open about that.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
That's really, really awesome. Cause I'm not seeing a ton of that in wrestling.
Yeah. And I mean, like, God, it's just so hard. It's so hard with this shit.
It's weird.
We're probably not going to have an answer to it. Cause there are no easy answers in something like this, but
no.
But hey, Angela Hill is fucking awesome. That's all I can say. I guess that's the one definitive thing I can say is that she's awesome.
At least we do know this thing.
If we know one thing, is
what
that
are
Angela
the known
Hill's
factors?
Rocks.
Angela Hill fucking rules.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. LB, did you have any other thoughts on this fight, or do you want to start wrapping it up, wrapping up our knuckles for the weekend?
I thought it was really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said my thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, I really just like the way she moves a lot.
Yeah.
And like, no disrespect to Hannah,
yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to take your eyes, especially and like in this fight, Angela Hill just had it like pretty wrapped up.
She just, yeah, this is maybe one of her most definitive wins.
Yeah.
She certainly wins by decision. You know, I think at this point, I don't have her stats in front of me, so I don't want to speak out too much on that. But, you know, she doesn't always get the finish, which is fine. You don't need to. But this is a really nice finish for her. I have to point out one thing I really love in MMA is when somebody gets the finish, they're really excited about it. And then they like give the gentle pat on the opponent, like the little hug, like they're not being smothering. They're not being like,
yeah,
oh, like too much, which I could imagine if I'm finished. I feel like shit. I'm embarrassed. You know, I don't feel good. And somebody like smothers you. I understand. Like, that's not me thinking, oh, you suck if you're doing this smother. But like the gentle pat is very reassuring to me. Like she does the woo. She kind of does the like the big like, yeah, gets really excited. And then like gives like a little gentle pat to Hannah's stomach. like they're there. And then, you know, does her celebration. But there's like a very nice, like gentle, like, you know, there's a level of care and respect in that. So, you know, I always love that kind of shit.
it feels very thoughtful.
Yeah, it's like very thoughtful. Like, hey, I know this sucks. Here's a little pat and thank you for the fight kind of thing, you know.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciated.
Yeah, much appreciated. Much, much appreciated. Oh, thank you so much, LB. I love our podcast.
Thank
it's
you
really
did.
Fun to
I
do.
Also really enjoy doing it. It's one of the highlights of my week.
Me too. It's just, it's good vibes, you know, and we talk about serious shit, but I feel like we still have very good vibes, even though sometimes we do talk about the real, very real shit that kind of happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Listeners, thank you so much for being here with us. That's what we have for this week. We do hope you enjoyed your combat sports entertainment journey with us. Please do rate and review our podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. We really appreciate that. It means so much to us. We're trying to grow our little fledgling podcast network. And so if you do that for us, we just really do appreciate that. And if you listen to all our stuff, you can find it all on fanbyte.com/podcasts. You can follow the Fanbyte FM and Fan With feeds as well. If you want more podcast goodness, you can follow us on Twitter at Fanbyte Media and Fanfyte, FANFYTE, on Instagram at Fanbyte, TikTok on at Fanbyte, and of course on fanbyte.com. And you can watch all of our streams. We've been streaming a lot more lately since all of our good folks are now obviously working from home. You can watch all of that on twitch.tv/fanbyte. And of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that you can read and check out all of our wrestling coverage at fanbyte.com/wrestling. And you can also listen to Fanfyte VCR right here on this feed. LB, is there anything you'd like to plug today?
Yeah. I mean, all the things Danielle just said. Check out the Fanfyte wrestling section. We're doing a whole thing this month where we're watching old wrestling from May of any year that's not 2020.
Excellent.
And talking about it like it just happened.
We kind of stole it a little for a sports bill. I'm not going to lie. That was such a
fine.
Good idea.
You're welcome to. You are welcome to it.
Thank you.
happy to help in any way I can.
Yeah.
I may be reviewing the new Cage Fight John Moxley movie.
Oh,
that
my
also
God.
Stars Gina Gershon.
Oh, my God.
So you can look forward to that on Fanfyte. Excellent. Hopefully, like, this weekend or the beginning of next week. Nice. Yeah.
Awesome.
Listen to all our podcasts. We just had a new episode of You Love to See It that I'm on.
Yeah, and you did an amazing job.
Thank you. You did an amazing job. And you know who really did an amazing job? The makers of Stay Alive, the 2006 classic about a killer video game.
It's really good. It's really, really good, friends. Elvie, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at HunkTears.
Excellent. And if anybody wants to, you can find me at DanielleRI on Twitter. Elvie, what sound effect should we make today?
Jeez.
At the end here.
I was thinking
Yeah.
Wait, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna say maybe like a sound we might make if we win a fight and we finish a fight, just like Angela finished a fight. That can get really loud. Good. But I'll get away from the mic.
I think it's good.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. 1, 2.
Wait, are you serious? How? How did I win a fight? This has never happened to me before.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Bye.